advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Nice of you to take two whiskey glasses over there, and I have none.
You have one. These are mine.
No, that's dirty.
There's like 30 upstairs. I'm just prepared. Don't hate.
Horrible, horrible friend.
There's one right there.
No.
You knew where we were coming. I told you we had whiskey. Drink out of the beer glass.
No, that's dirty.
You can drink out of that one.
That's really dirty.
You could hit pause. We can go get whiskey glasses.
No, we don't hit pause.
Yeah, we're not supposed to.
No, just friends fucking friends over here, like always. I heard Tyrone's going to stop by later because we're just talking about a bunch of white people killing each other.
Oh, yeah.
He's into it. He's in.
Are you really not going to try it because you think that glass is too dirty?
No, that's dirty.
Dude, the man that will piss in his own mouth.
No, but that's my piss.
You put some whiskey in there, swish it around. You know, I will waterfall the whiskey out of there so my mouth doesn't touch
it.
I'll clean it for you.
After the whiskey is dried, the dirt is left.
Just put whiskey in there. I'll drink it out.
Aren't there whiskey glasses in that kit right there?
Hey, there are.
Anyway. I can't anyway.
What?
I can't.
Here, look.
I'm a professional driver now. I can't drink anymore.
As he grabs a glass from me. As he pours the whiskey.
I got to try.
So what is this whiskey?
Where'd it go? Brad's got it. Larceny.
It's 1887. This is 1870. So it's like 150-year-old whiskey.
That's not true. That would be really expensive. Yeah,
it's called from Nicholas Hooker. It is Larceny Kentucky bourbon. I haven't even had any yet, and I can't talk.
Can't talk.
Gentlemen's cheers.
To dirty glasses.
This one dirty too?
No.
It looks clean.
That's pretty nice.
It's a weird taste, though.
It's just a little stronger because it's 92 proof.
Yeah.
I guess. There's like
fiery.
It's like really smooth on the front.
Sort of a skunky taste on the end.
A little bit.
No?
I don't have that.
A little bit of an apple aftertaste.
You had coffee. That might have been.
Mixed it up.
Yeah.
It's like smooth at the front and then like spicy a couple seconds later with like an apple finish.
I don't taste apple. I taste skunk. Here, hand it over here, man. Let me try again.
You get an apple? Like a green apple like thing at the end there.
Almost a little cinnamon too. Mm-hmm. Like
fine, I'll drink more whiskey.
Don't let us twist your arm, Brent. Fucking alcoholic.
No, that's really good. I like that. I'm going to have to track it down. Although it looks like there's something floating in it.
Is there?
Look right at the front.
Oh, no.
I think it's just a hole in the sticker.
I can't see over there.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Dave has vegan vision.
I don't know.
It's all those carrots.
It's right here. It's right here. Look.
Oh, there is something in there.
It might be from the cork.
It's got to be from the cork. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's from the cork. Yeah. Let's all tell ourselves that.
Doesn't matter.
Tequila has a worm. Yeah. That has cork. Doesn't. No big deal. I'm not scared of germs.
And Mexican water.
Like I said, man, if there's hair in my food, it's just floss. And if you don't pick it out, it flosses while you eat.
All the way.
Yeah, it's dual purpose.
I'm not in agreement.
No?
Yeah. I'll eat bugs, but not
hair. Yeah. I don't feel like hair's that dirty.
Dude, have you seen people's scalps?
Dude, hair is disgusting.
Have you seen people's scalps?
A bug, like a cockroach or something, a water bug.
I didn't say a bug. I said like a gnat or something, you know, lands in your food. You eat that. It's fine. It's protein.
A bug, actually, but we'll go with gnat.
That's a bug.
I would eat a gnat. That doesn't bother me either.
Yeah.
Hair just doesn't feel that gross to me. I don't know why. Like if I thought it was a pube or something, I'd be like, that's gross. But if it's off someone's head, obviously I'm going to move it out of my food, but I'm not throwing my shit away or walking back up to the counter.
I mean, technically a beard hair is a pube. Yeah.
Tell you what, I'm super disappointed. I went out of town and we went to Denny's. And I usually get like moons over my hammy or like a skillet or something. But it had been a long fucking time since I went to Denny's.
Are you 55?
Yeah.
No, that's, I mean, when I still ate meat, like moons, like the only thing you can order is moons over Miami.
So
that's it. That's the only, but here's the thing about moons over Miami. I tell people this and they don't trust me. As soon as it gets to your plate, the instant the plate sets your table, you have to turn the moons over Miami over.
Cause it's wet on the bottom or something.
It will be wet on the bottom.
Here's the problem, dude. They use Peely cheese or whatever the fuck that shit is. Like Kraft singles, like the fucking shitty cheese. Mm-hmm. It tasted like sweet plastic and I could barely fucking eat
sweet
it. I took the fucking top bread off that had the cheese on it and I was trying to scrape it. I was like, nope. And I try not to be that guy that's like disappointed, but I was literally eating like it was a tostada so that I didn't eat that fucking gross ass cheese.
I don't think I'm familiar with the moons over Miami.
It's just a breakfast sandwich, but I didn't get moons over Miami. I got
it has
different
the eggs
one
with the cheese
but
on
my
it.
My problem is they ruined the whole fucking thing because they put that shitty ass cheese on it.
Yeah.
And what caliber of cheese were you expecting from Denny's?
Yeah.
Even just shredded cheddar. I don't know. It's a restaurant.
Wait a minute. You went to Denny's. And we're expecting to not be disappointed.
I don't go to Denny's. I don't know. So I just thought, I don't know. It's a restaurant. Yeah, I got to go to a little like Moe's Diner. So they actually like someplace they actually cut the potatoes. It didn't come in like a frozen bag. Like shit was just real processed. And then I keep driving by it. I was being good on my diet, but I keep driving my Jack in the Box and I keep seeing that ribeye burger thing. I was like, I want to try that thing. It was fucking horrible. We were out of town.
You don't
so
try
I was like,
something new when you're hungry.
That's my problem, dude. I always feel like I'm going to be disappointed if I try something new, and it always is.
Yeah, it always is.
It tasted like meatloaf from AMPM. It was fucking horrible.
Starbucks has the fucking zombie frappuccino right now. Yeah. Just do yourself a favor.
I was scared I was going to get food poisoning. Like I had two like meals that day. Both of them super disappointing. Yeah. It didn't look anything like the
fucking
picture,
obviously.
It's because
you tried some new shit.
It was super tiny.
Well, here's the thing. If the food was good enough to really be on the Jack in the Box menu, it would be on the Jack in the Box menu.
True.
Whatever little bullshit novelty they dreamed up for this month is just to get you to buy one once.
Would you
and
say
then they'll
you're
dump
like,
it and get something else next month.
You're like a girl who's seen Tyler Mott's dick. You're just fucking disappointed. Yeah. That's how bad it was.
It's a good thing he's a good photographer because he's got those angles. Yeah.
Yeah, he does. It's all about the angles.
There's been a couple times I got weird things on the menu, though, that were good. You know what I mean? Like, there's a couple Taco Bell items you get crazy and try. Like, some of the volcano stuff was good. But most of the time, it's fucking garbage. It is. I never get the fucking thing. Like, last time it tastes like Alpo dog food. There used to be a burger at Jack in the Box, so we called it the Octagon Burger. It came in that weird-ass box. I don't know what it really was, though.
It was like
that burger was really good.
$5 burger from
college
junior, but it was Jack in the Box.
Fucking three-quarter pound.
$8
bullshit
burger.
Yeah, is that what it was called? Some shit like that? Yeah, it was good. That burger was good. This one, not. Fucking bullshit. Put that review on iTunes, but you better mention Jack in the Box sucks, you sons of bitches. You give us a 1-star. You give Denny's and Jack in the Box a 1-star, too, while you're on there.
I don't think they have Yelp for podcasts.
I fucking might. I'll make our Yelp tomorrow. It's going to be horrible.
Well, that's it for today's show.
oh, you know what? Thanks, Nicholas Hooker. And speaking of Nick's, Nick Eimholt is our El Yucateco Hot Sack winner this week. I posted super late because I was out of town getting mad at Denny's and Jack in the Box. And so I posted this morning for everyone to show us their Halloween costume. And half of them, I didn't know what they were. So people didn't put like who they were supposed to be, which doesn't say much since I couldn't identify your costume either. But maybe I'm just old and your guys' shit's young. Dave knew one that I didn't know.
And Brent's a costume naming aficionado too. So if he can't guess you... fuck your shit
sucks. That's true. And I have to say, like, right before the show, Brad and I were talking. Actually, all three of us talking, but Brent didn't really chime in. Brad and I were both on the side of fuck Halloween costumes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Brent didn't really weigh in.
You know what? When I was young, I used to be super into Halloween.
No, me too.
Sure, yeah.
We're talking about old.
Yeah, not so much anymore. Us.
Like right now.
Where we have bags under our eyes and stretch marks on our
like
cheeks.
Right, like friend, like friend invites you to adult... your aged costume party
just happened. Brent's and I going. Did not go.
Exactly.
I feel like a dick, but I did not. I was like, that doesn't sound like fun.
Did you not go because of the costume?
Wait a minute. Well, you guys have friends?
It was a themed party. It was a white trash party. Like you had to dress like white trash. So I don't know what all exactly
I think
that meant.
But the last Halloween costume I went to that I dressed up, I think I was like an 80s rocker, but that was like years and years ago.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember dressing up. I think I dressed up as a juggalo. That's what it was. No, I dressed up as a Geek Squad agent because I had the whole fucking outfit. I had like the jacket that said Geek Squad, like
he's
the
like,
fucking tie pin.
What can I make
deal.
Really easy?
Yeah, I already had it in my closet. And then when I got there, everyone was dressed like juggalos. So they face painted me and braided my beard and shit. And so that somewhere there's some pictures that I should try to find that. And then one of my buddies left the party and went to another party. And there was real juggalos there, and he had to play that shit off.
Yeah, we'd have beat you guys' asses. Yeah. That's for sure.
That's true.
Me and the juggalos.
He knew all the secret handshakes. He watched the Dark Carnival, though. He made it through. He had a Faygo with him already. It was a prop, but turns out that's a real thing.
What's a real thing?
Faygo and ICP. You know what Elie Koteko pointed out to me?
Hmm.
That Elie Koteko is our Faygo as far as...
Yeah.
That whole insane clown.
Yeah, I guess the only thing we need to do is now in Chicago, we're just going to fucking spray fucking XXX all over everybody in their faces. This shit's going to get real.
Yeah.
See, you guys had it nice when you went to the LA meetup, but Brad's going to Chicago.
That's
people are getting
true.
Fucked up.
You guys should have gone to LA.
Yeah.
Like it was a safer bet.
Yeah, I'm hot sauce fucking ICP hot sauce man. Fucking.
It was a safer bet. Yeah,
I'm breaking bottles and splashing them in your face.
So, but we completely disregarded Nick Imholt. He was the invisible
fuck
man.
That guy.
Somehow he made some glasses float and a bottle of Elie Koteko float. And I at least appreciated
I must have missed him.
Yeah. Brad didn't even see it. That's how good it was. But yeah, you win the hot sack. Hit me up on Facebook or Instagram and I will get that over to you. So.
Why do you assume there was trickery involved and he wasn't just invisible?
He could be. It was impressive.
Yeah.
Brad's unimpressed, but he looked at it closely and had no argument.
Well, I don't know. I didn't care enough to really try and scrutinize the photo. So.
You should try scrotumizing it.
Like, well, I did that on your phone. So.
Yeah, that's why the screen's all blurry.
Yeah, you have a...
It's just a wrinkly oil mark.
I had greasy balls this morning, you know, so I just kept them like that all day for you.
It looks like a dry lake shore. Yeah, it's horrible.
A dry lake shore?
Yeah.
A dry lake shore. A dry lake shore.
Face off. Jesus Christ.
Whatever character that is, I'm breaking in through the whole podcast now. Oh, I don't know what you guys are talking about. What is that?
A dry lake shore.
What is that? Sounds familiar.
I have no idea.
I'll come up with it. I don't know. What are we talking about?
Today's topic is something we've talked about this on a number of occasions in regards to other issues.
Have we?
Dealing with Russia. We have. We talked about it when we talked about cannibalism. We talked about it when we talked about Stalin. But the battle of Stalingrad.
Yeah.
One of the biggest, actually, according to most of the stuff that I read, the most costly battle in the history of humanity as far as loss of life goes, even though no one really knows a tally, because the loss of life was so massive, everybody pretty much agrees. No, this was it. Like
Brad and I were talking about, some of the numbers are crazy. Like out of the population of 500,000 civilians in Stalingrad, 1,500 survived.
And those weren't the soldiers.
No, that's just regular people that live there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, as I've said on the show before, I'm fascinated with everything to do with World War II. And
well, that's because you're a Nazi.
Well, half of me is. The other half couldn't really serve.
At the same time.
But I mean, because I always see the scale of it and it's unfathomable. Like to think about, you know, 1,000 warplanes constantly doing bombing raids. It's like there's nothing even a quarter the scale has happened since. Nothing a tenth of the scale. Like the vast amounts of resources and tanks and everything. And the Battle of Stalingrad is like one of the key moments of the whole war. And the death and the destruction was so fucking unbelievable that the battle, I think, is worthy of discussion.
Yeah, it's the whole if they had not held Stalingrad, we'd all be speaking German. It's that kind of thing. It was right. The pivotal battle.
They say that, but you don't really know for sure. But it does. It did create a loss of momentum for Germany. And
they were moving across Russia like a juggernaut. Like that shit was crazy. Like, and there was like no hope. It was very surprising that happened.
Well, they swept out like the whole west side of Russia and like fucking a couple weeks.
Right.
Like it was like insane.
Don't you mean West Side?
Yeah.
I don't think he meant that.
I'm pretty sure he did mean that.
Yeah.
He did. It was a slip. Okay. Yeah. I understand.
You don't bring your white-isms over here.
You're right. Dave hates black people on the inside. He's inner Nazi.
But no, so yeah, no, that's exactly right. They just completely, I mean, they broke the treaty that Hitler and Stalin signed, and they just completely stomped a mud hole in the Soviet Union's ass and just moved through so much of the territory. I have the guy narrating this video, I'll post a link in the show notes, but there's a pretty interesting video as far as this timeline. Like at the bottom, as he's narrating through the Battle of Stalingrad, you see this constant timeline moving at the bottom of the video. And it's pretty interesting to see how long it takes them to get there, like all this different shit. But for them, getting to Stalingrad was like nothing.
Right.
They just swept through, and then Stalingrad was just their holding ground. And everybody thought they would have gone to Moscow because that was the capital. Mm-hmm. But I think...
Well, they were trying to get there.
But that was north. Like it was just
Stalin,
such
like,
a... Exactly.
It was his namesake. Basically.
It became the propaganda war. It was like, we can take Stalingrad. We've just fucked up Stalin. Stalin wants to defend Stalingrad more than any place else because it's named after him.
And it was an industrial city. So Absolutely. A lot of the tanks and equipment were coming out of Stalingrad. So if they could cut them down and take over that city.
And a lot of refineries, like all the oil fields in Russia were south of that. And they would go up the river into Stalingrad. So it was like the hub of manufacturing oil, even food, like all the food that was grown in Russia would funnel through Stalingrad up the river through rail line. I mean, it was the most important tactical hub
It's mind blowing the amount of shit that they pumped out of that place. Like it was in 1 year, like in the year 1941 or 42, they pumped out 83,000 fucking tanks. I was like 83,000 tanks.
Yes.
Like I was trying to picture like 83,000 Hot Wheels. You know what I mean? Fucking Hot Wheels, like ones you could hold in your hand. And that's insane. That's as far as your fucking eye can see to have 83,000 Hot Wheels. And these are tanks. And they were just pumping them out with no gun sights. They weren't even painting them. They were just like, fuck it, put them out there. Just start shooting people.
I think one of the things, I was watching the documentary and it kind of blew my mind what they were talking about. They were saying that Hitler was, you know, he thought Jews were at the front of the Communist Party. And he went after the communists because of that. And I was like, man, Hitler's fighting the communists, you know, like you don't really see the breakdown on like, oh, these are commies and these are, you know, the Americans are, right. you know, we're a democracy. And then like, who's who. And then, you know, we all know communists are bad or so we're told, you know,
right.
And he was actually fighting against the communists, which we are against the communists too, you know? So it's like his reasonings were a little different,
right?
But it's like this weird, you know, I watched these documentaries and stuff, especially about World War II and Hitler and Stalin and all these things and world powers. And it gets a little confusing for, like trying to figure out who really is on the right side and for what,
I'm
like, especially when you know history,
how slippery the conspiracy slope is. Like as you start looking that shit up, it's like Stalin's fucking monkey army. And you're like, what? It's like bioengineering ape soldiers. And you're like, just fucking a couple clicks. If you just click on one of those fucking videos out of curiosity, it turns into the craziest fucking, oh, the Germans had a UFO in the Bell and they're going through dimensions and they live on the dark side of the moon. And Stalin was genetically modifying ape soldiers and shit. It just fucking gets real crazy once you move off the History Channel fucking PBS documentary.
But like, but you know, then again though, is the History Channel lying to us?
Right.
You know, like,
I don't know, dude. I'm a conspiracy theorist.
No,
that shit gets crazy.
Yeah, and I understand that, you know, but it's been this, like you said, it's a slippery slope of what's true and what's not, you know,
Speaking of conspiracy, since I'm on a slippery slope of messing us up, I forgot Nicholas Hooker gave us a card.
Oh God.
Jesus. What is that? What is that? The card says, thanks for all the laughs. Enjoy the tasty
Polaroid.
Whiskey. It's reportedly has a rich mouth feel. Rich mouth feel. I don't know what that fucking picture is, though. It's frightening.
It's an undeveloped Polaroid.
Yeah, but it's like looks like it was cut out. Like I'm scared there's like a dick pic in there somehow and he's getting
it. It was exposed. Yeah. Like it was fucked up.
Just some artistic thing he does. I think he got us. I think it touched his dick.
It looks like a really hairy body, though.
Yeah. Pretty sure he's naked in that picture.
Might be.
I don't know.
I'm going to post a picture of that picture. It's going to be Inception. Dick pic Inception that no one knows. Subliminally.
Once you post a picture, I'll take a picture of the post and I'll post it.
Yeah, and then I'll do it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'll take a picture of my ass and post it.
I like where this is going.
It'll be like it'll be the changing room at Gottschalk's. Like,
look into my hole.
That was the only cool thing when I was little. My mom made me try on school clothes. This mirror on both sides of the fucking the changing room. where you just look off into infinity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the fuck? I did some thing one time where I took a video camera and aimed it back at the TV. So it was like the TV filming itself into infinity. And then there's supposed to be this weird ghost thing where you pause frame per frame. And it's not that there's supposed to be a ghost thing. It's that there is a fucking weird ghost thing and faces and all kinds of shit come up in the white noise. Yeah, it's really fucking weird. But you have to use like an old VHS camcorder and you just aim it at the white fuzz TV thing. It's fucking weird. Did it.
Those tapes, the devil.
Yeah.
I'll have to look for that on YouTube. Yeah. Somebody's got it on YouTube. So Battle of Stalingrad, again, just to talk about the scope, like some of the estimates, and again, the estimates are very wildly, but they think that somewhere around 1.7 million people died in the Battle of Stalingrad, upwards of 2 million people. Now, to put that in perspective, in World War II, Americans lost 440,000 troops total in the entire war.
Right.
And 1.7 million died just in the Battle of Stalingrad.
In 7 months.
Yeah.
I was just reading about like the Nazis mobilized 4 million troops in the initial attack. I was like, 4 million troops, dude. That is like insane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking crazy. Yeah. And then they captured 3 million. Like, how do you even logistically process
right,
those fucking
exactly.
many people? Like,
exactly.
What are you doing? Like, no wonder they're just fucking killing people left
and
right.
Well, they captured them and killed them. They didn't like keep.
Well,
them.
They captured 3 million and 1.7 million died in the whole fucking battle or whatever. Yeah. So I don't know.
So, but the, actually International Business Machines helped them.
What?
Just IBM. Them.
IBM.
Did they?
Yeah. They sold like some of the world's first computational machines in order for them to handle the logistics.
We talked about
concentration camps and prison camps. And they actually had to send American engineers into the Reich to like show them how to work the machines.
So I talked shit last week, but for just a second there, you had me, sir. Last week I was like Oprah, O Network, blah, blah, blah. Who would believe that? And then now you're telling me this IBM thing.
We talked about this before.
This is real.
We talked about IBM helping the Germans.
I take back what I said to my friend. Right now,
yeah.
I don't know if I can believe you.
No. We talked about IBM helping the Germans before. Yeah, I think before. When we talked about Hitler, I think it was on the Hitler episode.
We did
it
on one episode, but yeah.
So maybe the scenario does exist where people are like, you're so convincing. Because right now I feel a little tricked.
This is real.
Okay. That's why we always tell you to look up the information on your own. This is just kind of a teaser.
One of the things they did, Stalin helped Germany invade Poland, like at the very beginning. They kind of both like sandwich fucked Poland.
He signed a non-aggression pact with Hitler so that they could basically use kind of the Russian area to attack Poland,
right?
But he did that as a strategic plan because he knew that at some point Hitler was going to try and attack him, and he wasn't ready at that time,
right?
So
that let him
bought him some time.
That let him buy time, but at the same time, Hitler was planning on breaking it the whole time, and that would position him better to strike at the USSR. So they were both waiting to fuck each other, and Hitler flinched first and launched Operation Barbarossa, which was when they just fucking shitstormed the USSR in the course of 1 year. So they end up conquering a ton of territory. The winter hits and they have to slow down. And by the time that winter hit, I was reading about the success of the German campaign. And it said that everybody in Russia and most of the world was shitting their pants for when the thaw would happen, because by the time they had conquered this massive amount of Russia, the Germans still had 65% of their troops had even yet to engage. So they were
fully. I heard when the thaw happened, it was issues though because of the mud and terrain.
Well, no, there were, but all winter, like Russia
That was as it started raining. They had to wait until it froze.
Oh, okay.
But Russia just got its ass kicked, and everybody was tripping. And then when they were taking stock of what the Germans lost, they hardly lost anything.
Right.
And in fact, 65% of their troops were fully equipped, fully fed, fully rested, hadn't engaged in battle at all. So there were no casualties. So like when spring hit, the Nazis were just ready to keep stomping a mud hole in Russia's ass. It's just that Hitler fucked up and sent him
and
to
at
Stalin.
And at that point, they had already taken over pretty much 80% of Europe, like the entire fucking thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're on their way.
Yeah. They're just fucking rocking and rolling. And a lot of people think that if he would have been smarter and said, go for Moscow, it would have been different. But since they went for Stalingrad, it was fucked. Like it was just very hard to take and maintain.
I wonder what the world would look like. Yeah. It's
one of the issues was that Stalin and Hitler threw everything they had at that.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, fucking everybody go and don't come back unless you're dead.
And that, like, is true. And that's one of the things. I mean, it's kind of...
It wasn't a strategic thing. It was fucking just everybody go.
I think it's somewhat disingenuous to compare the deaths at Stalingrad to American deaths or to British deaths or to anything else because of that very reason.
Yeah.
Hitler and Stalin were fucking dictators and crackpots, and they both had this fucking no retreat, no surrender, everyone die. This is for the glory of the motherland. We are taking this city. We are defending this city. Like, they threw everything at this fucking...
And earlier I had said, like, you know, 1,500 people survived out of the 500,000. And Brad's like, that's not soldiers. But it's kind of hard to discern that because it was Russia.
They were fighting.
Women and children were digging trenches. Yeah. And at some point they were just sending, like, grouping militias together of untrained men and women sometimes.
Right. Yeah,
manned machine guns.
Right.
Yeah. And sending them out. So that population became a force for the army.
Right.
Even if they were just running out there as pawns to be shot, it was something to resist.
I guess. One of the popular things, and I've read this in a couple sources. I didn't dig deep enough to confirm if this is 100% true. I read it in a couple of sources, and then it's famously in the opening of the movie Enemies at the Gate, about the sniper war that happens in Stalingrad. Right. But the Russians were so under-equipped by the time the siege was going on that they were just having soldiers run out, and they would give one person a rifle and one person a clip.
Oh, shit.
Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, if you don't have a rifle, you'll have one in a couple of seconds because there's somebody dead 100 yards away.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Just grab his and fucking use it. So people were like, you didn't even necessarily have a rifle when you were on the front line and sent to charge.
Get out there, pick up your gun and fucking shoot.
And there were people with the best guns were machine gunners behind the line so that if you turned around and retreated, they shot you.
Yeah.
So you're going to die if you don't charge. You might live if you do charge. So
and if you got caught retreating, there was like some special assignment that was like the front line certain death that they assigned you to.
Yeah. So this is all part of it. So the order that Stalin gave was called Order 227. Not to be confused with the horrible sitcom from the late 1990s.
What's that?
Never heard of it.
227.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, with never Jack Hay. Somebody out there knows. Yeah. Horrible sitcom. It had black people in it.
Jack Hay?
Yeah, Jack Hay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know why that matters.
The whole thing was not one step back.
Right.
Was like one of the lines that was like one of the
that's Paula Abdul's there. Song is actually based on that. Somebody got that.
She doesn't have a song called Not One Step.
See, this is that false information.
Yeah, I know.
You're giving out that you're sitting here telling people stuff, Brent. And
it's
that's why our
it's
podcast.
It's a line from Opposites Attract.
Our podcast has declined because of this.
That's
guys.
True. It is. So, a couple of the things, I read a couple of the blurbs from Order 227. It created penal battalions.
What was that, George Bush?
it created penal battalions where commanders and high commanders, if there was a breach of discipline due to cowardice or bewilderment, they would be sent to worse parts of the front line to, quote, redeem by blood their crimes against the motherland.
Yeah.
So if you were an officer and you retreated or freaked out, they sent you to a worse part of the war on the front line where you were either going to die or redeem your honor.
Yeah, that was actually, they used that in part of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, that exact thing right there.
Man, we have just a fucking million references that none of the other one gets.
So, I think it was.
We should hang out outside of this so that we get.
I was just making sure that the false information didn't make any sense, so nobody could.
Right, I like that one though.
I'm confused. So
the other thing was within each squad, they had 3 to 5 well-armed defensive squads that would be behind the divisions, so that if there was panic or someone withdrew, they would shoot him.
Right.
So if you were an officer and you panicked and withdrew, they would send you to a worse part of the front line. If you were just a regular soldier, they would just shoot you as soon as you retreated.
Right.
So there was no option. And with
You don't really have a team.
No.
You're just like out there, like shooting people.
With Hitler's men, there was, you're isolated. There's fucking no one anywhere around. Like, you're at Stalingrad. There's a couple of lines of support. For the most part, the support came from airlifts that would drop outside of Stalingrad, and then the Germans would drive the stuff into Stalingrad. It's not like there was a rail line. There was, it's like they were already isolated. So there was nowhere for the Germans to go. The Russians would get shot if they went anywhere. So it was all or nothing fighting for this fucking city.
I was just thinking about how the difference in culture, like from Japanese to Russian, like they have kamikaze fighters that are doing something out of honor. Like they'll just fly their plane or stab themselves. But in Russia, they were having to like threat by their own government to kill you worse than you would have got killed that way. Like they had to fear them into it.
Right.
A Japanese soldier, because of a cultural belief or a religious belief in honor, they freely just do that.
And it would be Americans would do it because for the country. You know,
maybe
that's what soldiers do it for. You do it for the country, for the people.
And it's kind of
like,
I think Americans did it because they like someone's getting a bottle of whiskey or
the other thing is,
no. Like we went to war in World War II because of Pearl Harbor. Like we went to avenge. Yeah. To avenge the deaths.
A sense of patriotism. Yeah, there is a coming together like that, but I don't know if there's anything relatable to like Japanese kamikaze, though. That's a different thing.
The thing that trips me out about this particular battle, though, to show you how fucking bad this battle must be, is everything that we've studied about Russia, about the Soviet Union, about Chernobyl, about whatever, is the sense that it's a country that doesn't have the individualistic mentality that Americans do.
True.
Like this, it is a country that is all about the motherland. It's a country where it's noble to self-sacrifice. You're not... Like in America, it's noble to be the one who fucking rises to the top and fuck all the fuckface peasants. In Russia, that just isn't really the case. So it really speaks to how fucked up this battle must have been if in a war known for Russians willing to sacrifice themselves for the motherland, we have to shoot people for retreating.
Where I think the Muslim point you made, that's more for like reward. They think they're going to some heaven with
but
a bunch
of
virgins.
Part of culture, though.
Yeah, but it's more because based off of a reward, where like Japanese is just the personal gain of the honor, not even gain, but the personal honor. So
nobody's
It's just weird how different cultures beget those different beliefs. It's interesting to me. I'm being overly analytical right now.
Maybe. I think palm trees just give them a lot of self-confidence.
Yeah.
So the overview of the battle. So what
feels safe while you're at an elevated.
You do. Yeah. So in general, what happened in like a brief sketch, and then we can get into some of the specific details in the battle itself. So the Germans, once there was the spring thaw, they had already kicked ass through Russia. They get close to Stalingrad, and for a month or so, while the Germans are moving towards Stalingrad, the Luftwaffe just bombs the shit out of the city. They don't care about civilians. I kept reading like, and they didn't care about the civilians, but in World War II, nobody gave a shit about civilians in any of the bombings.
Right.
Like we bombed the shit out of German cities. They bombed we all just bombed the shit out of cities. It didn't matter. But in unlike most cases, again, Stalin knew they were going to bomb the shit out of Stalingrad. And instead of saying, let's get the civilians out, let's get the children to safety, which was famously done in England, he was like, nope, none of you can leave.
I also saw that they didn't really have time for a proper evacuation, probably environmental variables too. It's cold as fuck and frozen. And where are they going to go? And they're
people
getting
didn't
fucked
have
everywhere.
Food.
The other thing I saw was, I was telling David a little bit, there's a museum there in Russia that has a depiction, basically a scaled down model of Stalingrad, of it in its complete devastation. Like they just used pictures and recreated a 3D model of the city. And it was weird. I watched a thing called History Detectives or something on Stalingrad. And they were showing why the city was able to withstand the battle. And it may have played a factor in why Germans were so unsuccessful. Because of the way their tanks would operate, because when they bomb normal buildings, it like blows them completely fucking up and like levels the city. But something to do with Stalin's use of architecture, they had like reinforced concrete buildings. Like it looked like a brick fucking flour mill on the outside, but inside there were all these fucking crazy reinforced archways and whatnot that were still standing on one of the buildings today. And so they were just saying like the bombs weren't as effective as they should have been. And they had so much success with the Nazi tanks because it was over open ground and they were fast and mobile. But once they got into that city,
it was all bogged down.
It was bogged down and it became a problem.
Because I read that eventually the tanks, the Nazi tanks ended up ultimately becoming pillboxes. I mean, they became entrenched
even to the point they
guns,
said
guns, like
Stalingrad,
they were just armed guns that would park at an intersection. They weren't planning on moving anywhere, but you knew you couldn't take that intersection.
They couldn't shoot above their line of sight, so like they couldn't shoot at the tops of buildings and whatnot. So that was a problem if there were snipers up there. Another problem that happened once they're in the city was Stalingrad had deteriorated so badly that it was infested with rats, mm-hmm. and rats actually infested the German tanks and would eat the cloth wires and take out the turrets and like yeah. the navigation systems inside the tanks. So they would just be driving, be like, what just happened? And they couldn't turn their fucking turret. And it's because of rat infestation. And then also the tank, the
it's a shitty ass war.
The Russian tanks broke out with that T-34 tank, and it was faster than the mm-hmm. German tank. The armor was better than the German tank. And they
better
found
in
the,
urban
the only way they could fucking penetrate that tank was at close fucking proximity or with anti-aircraft guns that they just fucking tilted down and aimed right. at the tanks. Yeah. Otherwise, all of their ammunition would bounce off those fucking Soviet tanks, and they were faster. They had to fucking like climb on the fucking tank or like aim at the air vents. And if they got lucky enough to blow that out, climb on the tank and physically right. drop a grenade inside because they could not penetrate the armor.
And the advantage, even though Stalingrad was eventually cut off and there was no support coming in for the Russians, the advantage the Russians had was the main tank factory was in Stalingrad.
Right. Yeah.
So they were literally, they were churning out tanks in the middle of the city, and they said they would build enough of them to be a little squad, open the doors, the tanks would be firing, the tanks would roll out, they'd shut the doors, keep building tanks until the next wave was ready.
That's the number I mentioned earlier, 83,000 of those tanks they kept pumping out. That's fucking crazy, dude.
So the Germans end up getting to Stalingrad, and basically they surround the city. They bomb all the bridges on the Volga River so that there's not as easy an access for the Soviets to get any support into the city. And they basically slowly close them off, and they circle the Russian army into two pockets in Stalingrad. So the Germans completely surround the city. The civilians and the army are basically put into two different pockets, and that's where the bulk of the war happens. The battle is the Germans have surrounded everybody, and they have it, and that's what goes through the whole winter, et cetera. And then the next year, another Russian general gets there and ends up sort of doing a pincer move and flanks the support.
Polis or whatever? Is
that no, that's the German. That's the German.
That was the six-wave German guy who was told not to retreat, but he ended up retreating. Right. He ended up.
It was a Russian general who wasn't the main Russian general, and his job was to cut off all the German support, which was apparently poorly defended. So the Russians came around and destroyed the three or four units that were supporting Stalingrad. So now the Germans were cut off. And then at that point, the tables were turned. The German army was able to the Russian army was now able to circle the German army. And it was still just a shit clusterfuck of a war. Yeah. 'Cause now instead of one army being circled and stuck in the city, it was the other. And they still held out and they kept fighting. So yeah, it just,
I guess there's a lot of debate between historians as to whether or not that was a strategic move for them to like, they kept, because allegedly they fell back to try to trap the Germans or something. Mm-hmm. But as documents became uncovered over the years, they found out that it's just like happenstance. It just kind of fucking lucked out that the city sort of bogged the fucking Nazis down and everything just happened the way it did. But that after that No Step Back Paula Abdul song move that came out or whatever, it was kind of solidified as like, no, if they fell back, it wasn't out of strategy. They had strict orders to not fall back. That wasn't strategy. It just happened.
Oh, I didn't see that. So
until the cartoon cat showed up.
Right. Yeah.
Scat
Cat.
Yeah, yeah. The music video. That
he could
that.
Rap.
It's horrible.
He could rap. One thing that I read was that
I had a huge crush on Paul Abdul, for the record.
Who didn't?
Yeah.
A thousand at one particular point in the bombing, when the bombing started, 1,000 tons of bombs were dropped on Stalingrad in 48 hours.
God, 1,000 tons. That's insane.
In 48 hours. Like it's inconceivable. Like how many planes that took, how many bomb runs that was just endless bombs. Like that was 24 hours a day of bombs for 1,000 tons of bombs dropped on the city. That's fucking madness.
I can't take anyone serious that says inconceivable for the rest of my life. I know.
I had to throw it in there anyway.
That's inconceivable.
I concur.
The exact number of civilians that were killed was definitely unknown. They think that when the bombing started, there were still 400,000 civilians still in the city. When the bombing started, God knows how many that 48 hours killed. I mean, just fucking an unbelievable amount.
Yeah, they said people would rush towards the German line because it was less likely you would get hit by bombs. Like, get as close to the front line as you could because you're actually safer from air artillery. You're
safer getting shot at than you are
from air artillery. Yeah. You could hide on the ground at least, and maybe they won't shoot you.
By February of 1943... there were estimates of between 10,000 and 60,000 civilians still living and still alive in Stalingrad. Keeping in mind, none of them were allowed to leave. So that's just fucking death. Like, I have no idea where the bodies went.
They're there.
You couldn't leave.
Like, they're on the ground.
I mean, in the winter, I guess that's fine. You can just stack them up. But when the spring thaw hits,
pictures, there's bodies everywhere.
Yeah, I watched like 12 minutes of footage. There's like a compilation. And it's just insane the amount of carnage that happens. Ugh.
Yeah, looking at the images, and I found one site that was actually kind of cool because there's some that are, there were a handful of photographers who had colored film, and there's actually some photos of the battle in Stalingrad that aren't black and white, and they're pretty, to me, they're like extra fascinating.
Oh, when you
like,
say colored film, I thought you meant black and white.
That would just be black film.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did see
there were pictures that weren't directed by Spike Lee.
I got it.
Yeah.
I saw a comparison that they said the total civilian death toll combined was more than Hiroshima and Nagasaki together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
absolutely insane. Absolutely. And by the end of the Battle of Stalingrad, something like 90% of habitable spaces were destroyed, which makes me wonder, why did you rebuild?
Yeah.
Like, geez, just move on the other side of the river and build a new one. Like, what the fuck?
No, we're going to build that one back.
Then again, I guess you've got all that rubble that makes handy bricks. Like, we just rebuild out of the rubble.
Grind it down.
It's just like a shittier version of Stalingrad down there. It's like patched together.
I bet the buildings there have bones and shit in them. They had to smash up the fucking rubble.
Yep. Yep. So some of the key things, because I wanted to focus on some of the key moments in the war. In the battle, rather, that I thought were the most interesting. One of the things was there was a rail station, which was apparently considered to be one of the worst individual battles, like a day of battle, like ever
at the rail station,
The rail station. And it was at a rail station called Mamayev Kurgan. 30% of the soldiers that were there died in the first 24 hours, and there were 10,000 Soviet soldiers there to hold the railway station. And in less than 2 days, it was down to 320.
Damn. That's enough for Sparta.
I wish we had like a time, like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. We could go back in time and like pick people up. Like, go grab Geronimo and drop him in the middle of the war and see what happens. Like, you know, give him his crew.
Blown up right away.
Well, I know. And then we can go back. Like, he's not dead. He's good. Like,
we just saw a puff of feathers.
Yeah, we just go grab random, like, people who did, like, crazy things back in the day.
Geronimo.
Go get Billy the Kid and his crew.
You should have dropped off, like, SEAL Team 6 or something and see what happens. Not
like
Geronimo.
The new age. No, I just want to see. Like, and we can film it.
No, I want to see that, too.
Like,
I want to see
just, we drop him off and he just gets shot in the head, like, right away.
I want to see
SEAL. Like, oh, shit. Pop. Feathers. That's what would happen.
I think this is also pointing towards your simulation theory argument, because why would you not do that?
Yeah.
Like, if you could run a full simulation of Stalingrad, how would you not be like, okay, how did SEAL Team 6 do?
Yeah. Like, you take, like, you could give them, you take Geronimo and his whole crew, like his whole army, and just drop them in there somewhere. Because you never know.
I wouldn't
The Nazis and the fucking Russians, they might not know what hit them. Like, they're like, who the fuck are these guys?
And the thing is, when you read the details of the fighting, because it was, once the bombing stopped, once they were in the city, once the fighting was going, it was fucking
hand to hand,
street to street, like within one building. I was reading accounts where there were multiple places where the Russians in the basement had like 3 day firefights with the Germans in the attic through the holes in the floor.
Damn.
They would just because it was already fucking, all blown to fuck, and they were in the same building shooting at each other through holes in the wall, holes in the floor, holes in the ceiling, just murdering each other. And one of the reasons that it said that the Russians did really well is they basically sent 5 to 10 person teams, guerrilla style, to just take a block. like, hold this block.
Yeah.
And so the Germans would show up and it was just this bloody fuck. There's one guy in that attic. There's one dude across the street in that fucking hair salon. And like, they have to deal with all this fucking guerrilla sniping, all this crazy shit.
That's how we get our ass kicked.
So Geronimo very well might have done more nicely.
Or like some fucking ninjas.
Exactly.
Samurais and shit.
Ninjas aren't real.
Yeah, they are.
So anyway, that rail station, in 24 hours, the 10 out of the 10,000 soldiers that were sent to, that were defending it, 320 were still alive at the end of the battle. And the rail station changed hands 14 times in 6 hours.
You know what make
it got taken and retaken and taken and retaken back and forth.
It would make a good movie just to have a single time traveler go back and save one life, because the whole butterfly effect, like, what impact does 500,000 deaths have?
Right.
Because who would have grown up and had kids and did what and invented something or graduated from this or saved a different life? So if you had one person to save their life, you pick the one for the movie. And it would completely alter history. You're like, oh, this one led to all this shit. If this one person hadn't died, it could have altered history in its entirety.
We'd
like,
still have flip phones.
Yeah. the Matrix never came out.
That's right.
The Hadron Collider never happened.
Did you guys see the thing? I think he's a German scientist. He said that we're actually in the year 1720 or something like that.
Someone post that in the group. I read that.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting.
They said that like a couple hundred years of history were made up because
they changed it. Yeah.
Some king thought it'd be cooler if one of his kids was born like at the year 1000 instead of 96, and they made up some shit. I don't know.
It'd be cool. Well, what if I was like, that's kind of cool.
What if you prove that though? They're not changing it. You got Y2K problems. Like, well, they're not going to change the year.
No. Cause the things that, you know, they added 200 years of history.
Right.
And so like, they just changed the date, but then the Mayan calendar still ends in the year 2000.
I thought about that.
So maybe it wasn't 2000. Maybe we still have a couple hundred years.
Right,
like,
right.
That's kind of cool. Like, yeah. I was like, that's kind of sick.
So. We should try that.
Try changing history.
Yeah. We should just start a movement and say that it's like 2028 right now.
No. It's 1720. I like that.
Well, we could do it again though.
Yeah. We'll just say this episode comes out next year and people are like, damn, that took forever. Probably has to be more subtle than that. I don't think in this day and age you get away with moves like
took
that.
Took them a year to make that.
Back then
episode?
They were just like, I thought my
this is the worst one.
Because back then most people probably didn't know what year it was. They just knew that it was like spring or fucking winter.
Exactly.
They're just like, oh, the vegetables are ready to pick or they're not. And whatever you say. Yeah, they were uneducated.
So one other thing that I thought was interesting, and I tried to find more on this, but there wasn't much written about it. But one thing that the Germans called it was the Rattenkrieg, which was the rat war, because
they were fighting the rats.
They were fighting in the sewers. Like the sewers connected everything. The Soviets were in the sewers, so the Germans had to literally send sewer rats down in there. And that, like, some of the worst battles apparently happened in the sewers.
Well, yeah, you're contained in a fucking tunnel.
Yeah. Shit.
And it's rats. And think about that. 1940s sewers.
Yeah. Like, 1940s in Stalingrad, all those dead bodies upstairs. Like, ugh. Just horrible. But one other thing. So
fucking Howie Mandel would be fucking in a nightmare.
Forget elbow bumps.
Yeah. Another big thing that I saw, which I hadn't heard of until I started doing this research. Did you guys see anything about the place called Pavlov's House?
Mm-mm, other than you mentioned it earlier.
Sure, yeah.
So Pavlov's House, there was a sergeant named Yakov Pavlov. And he based again with the you cannot retreat set of orders that were given. He and a squad.
No relation to Slobbering Dog.
No.
Pavloving response. No.
No. No relation to Yakov Smirnov either. Okay. Anyway, it was an apartment building that a group of 24 with him at the head, 24 Red Army soldiers. Once it was behind enemy lines, like the Germans had pushed past them, so they were fully behind German lines. There was no support. There was no reinforcements. There was nothing. They held one apartment building for 60 days against a constant offensive from the Germans. And it lasted from the 27th of September till the 25th of November. It came down to... four men it was the Sergeant Pavlov and three other men were the only four that were still alive at the end of the 60 days. And the piles of German bodies outside the building were so tall that they would have to run out and push the bodies down so they still had a shot at more Germans.
Jesus Christ.
And it was the four of them, and there were the civilians who were still alive in the basement.
How is that not a movie?
Through that whole fucking thing. And then finally the Soviets pushed back and retook that block and relieved them, and they were okay. But
those who made it,
they fucking made it.
Spoiler alert, when that does come
out. And there's still a, like, there's a picture, like the building is completely rebuilt, obviously, but the outside of the building is really cool. There's like a facade that looks like this burnt out, blown up building is like on the outside of the actual building,
right.
But it was like right in the center of a square. So there was perfect views up all the streets. It was taller than all the other buildings.
Flank them or something.
They kept trying. They tried for 60 days to take this fucking apartment building. And it wasn't even a full squad. It was 24
I would have just
men.
Left. Why would you? 60 days to take one apartment building. Yeah. Fuck all that. Go somewhere else. Come back later.
Isn't there an apartment up the way?
Because it was probably the point at that. You're like, God damn, it was a fucking
strategic point. Yeah, and you're like, and I'm sure the general was like, would you take that fucking apartment building? And it's like, we just want to retreat, general. It's like, no, there is no retreat. Like, keep fucking going.
It's because they had Emilio Estevez.
You know, I was thinking, it's kind of funny. The World War II, who are our allies?
The Brits.
Fucking Britain, Russia. Mm-hmm. China, like, it's like a crazy, because China was fighting, and this is my other thing, everybody's so worried about fucking China, they couldn't even hold off Japan.
No, Japan whooped their ass.
Yeah,
well, China was,
and we're
part
so
of,
worried about
part
fucking
of
China.
Japan basically was part of the Nippanese Empire at the time.
Because those fuckers would fly a plane in
China,
you,
was
so
kicking
I
ass.
I said earlier,
Japan whooped
Japan
ass.
Japan was fucking beating their ass, and they supposedly have all these people.
They have superpowers from Fukushima now too.
Yeah, they do.
That are like the Japanese Toxic Avengers.
That's right. But wouldn't they have had to travel back in time?
They're just going to send fucking nuclear sushi to all of the white people. Yeah.
Nuclear sushi.
What powers would you get?
That's happening. Diarrhea. Glow in the dark diarrhea.
Wasabi.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Wasabi farts.
I don't know. I don't think you get powers from just eating the sushi. It just fucks you up.
Well, that's mercury sushi. We're talking about radioactive.
That's my favorite.
Sushi.
True.
I like to smell the mercury in my pee.
This is two in a row with you talking about your pee smell.
It does. It's the coffee. It makes my pee smell like tuna. Yeah,
corn nuts.
No, it's tuna. Mine's tuna. Like it smells like salmon. Like fucking
gross.
I don't know.
It's an STD, buddy.
I'm sorry, no, it's not.
Corn nuts.
Yeah, you might want to get some antibiotics.
Nah, they don't work on me. I have a high tolerance.
Maybe you need a radium-infused wax rod.
That'd be sweet.
In your urethra.
Yeah, ooh, you should get that. You should try that out.
That'd be good. That's good for prostate cancer.
You should try that out.
You should do it once.
I do have a knot.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, something. I don't know.
Where?
I don't know.
In your pubic mound area?
Yeah.
I actually had to go to the doctor for that one time.
What is it?
It's just like a cyst. A lymph node is what I was trying to say.
Okay, because whenever I bend my hips, like I feel like a lump there. Like sitting down right here, I can feel it. Like it's
that's not what I'm talking about. I think you better go to the doctor.
You might want to have that.
You're
looked
saying
into.
Like right here, right? Like
like right where my hips are, like in like
oh, like at, between
right under my belt line,
the crevasse.
My hips.
Yes.
Yeah, like I feel. Yeah, there's something in there. Got my belt level. I don't know.
Is it a wayward testicle?
I might have like a what
carry
is it? What is it when you
testicle.
Get a
carry on my wayward?
What is it when you get a when you have a tubular pregnancy? Like a baby's in the tube.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have that.
When your sperm's just said, fuck this, yeah. I don't need an egg.
It's like, yeah.
Let's do this.
I'm so manly, I'm growing my own baby.
Like a, so like you've a got a baby, you got a baby Quato in there.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
It's going to be.
Get you off the malls.
You should play classical music for it. Like put headphones on there and play classical music. It'll be smarter when it finally comes out.
That's true.
It'll never make it in the egg. Though.
It might just be part of the lumps from the mashed potatoes. Because I didn't.
It might
like
be. It might.
That's a better stack. Theory. Actually, yeah. I'm kind of worried about you right now. But you did like duct tape your balls together one time to keep them in there. So
it happens.
Yeah.
Everybody's done that.
Left over from that. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody.
That's common.
That old chestnut. Yeah. So one other thing we talked about that tank factory that made all the that was churning out those tanks. It was actually a tractor factory. And once the siege started, they converted everything over to making tanks and they defended it. Since there was really nobody left, they sent a completely green all-female anti-aircraft battalion because they thought the only threat that was going to hit the tractor farm was the Luftwaffe or the tractor factory. So they sent the 1077th anti-aircraft. Most of them were females just out of high school, teenage girls. They get sent there, and apparently they were fucking gonzo awesome, and they were the ones that gave the Nazis, you mentioned earlier, the blow idea jobs. That they would turn they would turn tricks on blowjobs. They would turn their aircraft cannons, which were supposed to be aimed at the sky,
right.
They figured out ways to aim them up the street, mm-hmm. and they would just fire all the anti-aircraft cannons at the people and the tanks that were coming up towards them.
Do you guys use one of those in the shower?
What?
The Luftwaffe?
The Luftwaffe.
Yeah, I use a Luftwaffe in there.
I do not. Yeah. You're talking about the one that actually comes from the ocean, or you're talking about one of those fucking really pink ones?
The ball, like.
No. I think, you know what I feel about that? I feel like it's like a super bacteria.
No.
Surface area.
No.
Have you ever seen like fish filters? I used to be the manager of the aquatic department.
Yeah,
so
but you're not,
when I look
you're
at
not
that, it's
fish filtering, though. It's in the shower and you wash it out and you
sitting
hang
there
it and
in
you
the
dry
shower.
It out.
I don't trust it. I think it's like a breeding ground for bacteria. I just use the bar soap.
That doesn't work. I use a bar of soap. You 80-year-old man.
I just use the bar
of
soap. Yeah. Just the bar.
That leaves a film.
No, I rinse off. No. I have good water pressure. That's the first thing I check, remember? I don't move into a place. I would move into like a fucking masturbatorium little shanty shack. I would move into a whacking hut if there was good pressure. That's the only thing I care about.
I can't use
good
a
water
bar,
pressure.
Bar of soap just by itself.
You put it on a washcloth or something?
Liquid soap.
Liquid soap?
Yeah.
Like a body wash?
Yeah.
I do have a gripe. Since we're talking about this for a second, I have a gripe. My family, I don't know what to do. They, like shampoo and conditioner must come in pairs. Or like,
it does.
So they run out of conditioner or something. No, they run out. No,
you always run out of shampoo.
They run out of shampoo first, right? So we have like three fucking conditioners and one shampoo. And it's fucking dark in there.
Because they buy them together?
Yeah. So like I try to look and I'm like, what the fuck? I have to pick up like 14.
Why is it dark in your bathroom?
Because I don't turn the light on. I don't like the light.
Oh my God. What is wrong with you?
I knew that was going to happen. I set that one up.
I knew I shouldn't have said anything about the lights.
No, but like the lighting inside the shower, even if the light's on, if you have like soap in your eyes and shit, like when you pick up the bottles, I'm like, it should just be a different colored fucking bottle.
It is.
Not on whatever brand they're
label's
buying.
Different.
Yeah. I need to be
like
in charge.
Blue and red.
Yeah, it's not. It's the same color bottle. The only thing that's different is the text that says shampoo or conditioner. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, motherfucker, these bottles look exactly the same.
You guys get some ghetto-ass shampoo and conditioner.
It's like Tresemme or whatever that is. Is
that's
that ghetto?
Ghetto.
Is that? What's the other one she has? I don't know.
That's like dollar store.
I don't even care. Sometimes I smell like fucking green tea. Sometimes I smell like strawberries. I just grab whatever the shampoo is. I never had a preference, but it's getting on my nerves enough that I'm starting to be like,
dude,
fuck moons over Miami, fuck Jack in the Box and fucking specialty items. And I'm going to buy my own goddamn shampoo.
I would.
And I'm not using the Luftwaffe either.
I always use
you're going to start acting like you live in a dorm. You're going
to
have
I'm starting
little,
to get weird old
your
man.
Little toiletry bag that you take
I
into
have
the bathroom.
To have, like my shampoo, it can't be like the girly shampoo. It has to have like a it has to feel like minty.
It has to feel like it's
I like the Selsun Blue, like the dandruff shampoo. Like it makes your head fucking feels like it's like open on top, like when you're done.
Like it's open on top.
There's a breeze coming in.
It's
do
like
you
a
have dandruff?
I mean, like my head
no,
will get dry.
No, because you use Selsun Blue.
But yeah, my head will get dry. Like I have dry skin, so like I'll use Selsun Blue. Like I only shampoo like once a week because my hair is not greasy. So I can't shampoo every day or else it fucks me.
Really?
Like literally, if I worked at a restaurant, you would have fucking a little bit of garlic salt in your food.
Gross. It's snowing.
Yeah.
I haven't shampooed my hair in like 10 years.
How often did you grow your hair out?
Long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
Long time.
Yeah. Mm. So the older I get, the more preferences I have apparently. And I was trying to like not complain about food, but that shit was... I know what I like now. Certain things. I'm just like, these fucking shoes, these pants, these fucking underwear.
Apparently, I'm very particular.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
More so than me. So, you're going to be a worse old man.
Yeah.
Because I'm a little bit ahead of you.
Very bad.
Yeah. Well, here's the difference, though. Brad's
I don't like shit touching me, though. Like,
Brad's very particular, but like, if he had to, he would just eat something else or do something else. But Brent, yours is different.
I stayed at my brother's house this weekend. I dropped my kids off in Ventura. And
Did you guys fuck?
I used their shower. Me and my brother? Yeah. Nah. So I went and used their shower.
You guys quit that or what?
Bad water pressure. And Brad's just jealous. There's a lot of sexual tension between us. Mm-hmm. And anytime that's like passive aggressive.
It's actually me and your brother.
That's passive aggressive is coming out.
He broke up with me 2 years ago. I'm still angry.
Yeah. So it was like, It was like a trap, basically. Low water pressure and then Dove soap.
Got a girlfriend or something.
And I went to use Dove soap and then the water pressure's low. You might as well be in a fucking tar pit.
Yeah, the like Dove soap, don't come off.
Yeah, you can't get that shit off you.
Come off.
And the water pressure was poor. Yeah. I was
did
like,
you slip and fall?
Bitch.
Did you slip and fall?
No.
You know your feet were slippery.
Yeah, it's a disaster. You see Dove soap, don't do it. It's a trap.
I got to tell you, Brad, milky. Thinking about your weird thing about like...
dead bodies and watching them masturbating?
No. What? About shampoo.
Oh.
And wanting it to sting. You should get Dr. Bromer's mint.
I've used it.
Bar soap.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Your whole body feels tingly?
Like, yeah.
Has, if you have a new bar for like the first week or so, you do get a little bit of a tingle.
It comes in a liquid too.
Yeah, it does.
And it's a weird bottle.
Weird as fuck.
So I can't figure out if it's a
it's
if
weird
it's like
as fuck.
I can't figure out if it should have a Jesus fish on it. Or
I don't know, dude. I have
it's
no
a
idea.
Fucking weird
it's
bottle.
So fucking weird.
It's bizarre,
but the soap
shit.
Is so good
like
that
it.
I don't care how like weird it. The package is. Yeah. I still keep buying it. It's fucking
you can get it
weird.
At Trader Joe's.
You get it at Target now too.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
You guys remind me because I already forgot. I don't even know what the fuck you guys called it.
Dr. Bromer's.
Right. We'll have to bring you a bar.
Dr. Bromer's mint soap. Best soap ever. The
it's
fucking package.
It's antibacterial
so
too.
Yeah. So I didn't realize how weird the package was until I got the liquid soap, which the paper soap is the same thing. It's just for some reason it's not as noticeable as the weirdness of the bottle of liquid soap. It's fucking weird. It's like a conspiracy theory in a bottle of soap.
Yeah.
I'm not making this up.
It's a weird bottle.
Weird. I can't imagine what it can possibly be. Is it shaped like
just
a curvy
wording on
shaped
it?
Like
no,
a
no,
curvy
no,
woman?
No, the bottle
the
says.
Shit that the bottle says.
The shit
like it
on
has
the bottle
to mean
that
something.
Has nothing to do with the soap.
Oh.
You cannot... You can't figure out what it means,
there's
but
like
it has to mean
there's
something.
There's like hieroglyphic shit
it's like
on there.
Some fucking old lady with Alzheimer's disease wrote
like
shit
no
here
idea.
And there.
It's
and
like, here's
all
the stuff
the
about the soap, but then the rest of the bottle is covered in weird shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very strange.
A pinch and a pair gets you two barrels.
That's that kind of shit.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so the other thing that's probably the most famous thing about Stalingrad was the sniper war. I think a lot of people know about that because of that film Enemy at the Gates, and there is a lot of truth to it. I don't know how much accuracy there is. I read a lot of the idea that he had a sniper war with one particular German sniper is actually in the Russian museums, but historians can't find an account of a German sniper by the name of the person.
Vasily?
Well, no, Vasily Zatsiev was the Russian.
Ah.
And prior to 10th of November, when he was stuck in Stalingrad or sent there or whatever, he had 32 kills.
Nice.
Long distance kills, standard one shot rifle.
Nice.
And between November 10th, 1942 and December 17th, 1942, he killed 225 soldiers.
Nice. Mm.
And the only thing that knocked him out was a mortar exploded in front of him and fucked up his eyes. And some crazy Russian doctor actually like performed crazy World War II Russian field surgery on his
eyes.
He gave him China eyes. And
maybe
he wasn't good enough to be a sniper anymore,
right.
But he still went on the front line again and just kept fucking killing people. And he started a sniper school in Stalingrad during the Battle of Stalingrad. And a handful of people that he
How
pushed
the fuck
through
do
the
you
school,
start a school in
like
Stalingrad
crawling around
the
shooting people.
Stalingrad.
You would take a green guy with you and fucking crawl around and show him how you shot
Jesus
five people
Christ.
Today. But the people he trained killed 3,000
curve for sure.
They killed 3,000 people. The people he trained had a total of 3,000 snipes in the course of that 7 month period.
Damn.
But he killed 225 in 2 months.
So Wesley Snipes.
He's actually named after him.
So huge hero honors. And then he went on to fight elsewhere. They sent him just to another fucking battlefront, just regular shooting each other with machine guns. He lived through that. Apparently he didn't die. He died in 1991 at age 76, 10 years before the Soviet Union dissolved.
He might've been Wolverine.
He might have been.
That guy's a badass.
He was a total badass.
That guy's a badass.
Yeah, that guy
fucking
was fucking
Randy.
Awesome. And the other thing, like we've talked a lot about the starvation and the problems with supplies for both sides. And one thing that I read was that
I don't see why there was any starvation. There's a bunch of fresh bodies.
There is a lot of fresh bodies.
I would have stayed, you would have been hydrated and fucking had meat to eat. It'd been all good.
I read that the German soldiers in what they called the cauldron, at this point, once the tables turned and the Germans were trapped in the city, there were 270,000 German troops still alive in the city, trapped in there. And that...
And by trapped, you mean they're in buildings, they're fucking hiding,
and they're,
right?
Yeah. But they're completely surrounded on all sides by the Red Army.
I read that 2/3 of the 270,000 were dead when... that Paulus guy showed up or whatever, and Hitler was like, no, move forward. And he was just like, nah, I'm going to fucking surrender. Cause everyone was fucking starving and fucking bleak.
Well, he
like
got that guy got a dead. Promotion.
Well, that guy was there the whole time.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. That guy was there the whole time, but eventually he started petitioning to Hitler saying, oh my God, we have to surrender.
Right. Well, the thing with him was he got a promotion. Hitler gave him a promotion, which was really a demotion because he went in and had to go to battle. And he's the one that pulled out. Yeah, he had 91,000 troops left, and he walked into captivity.
The promotion was to make him a field marshal instead of a general, because in the history of the Reich, no field marshal had ever surrendered.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, go ahead and surrender, field marshal, you fucking bitch. Yeah. Like, it's like, fuck. But the airlift, it said that they needed, with food, medicine, ammo, gasoline, everything, they needed 700 tons of supplies a day to be airlifted in. And on average, they would get 106 tons a day. No, sorry. The average was 85 tons.
That's still a lot.
And the highest they ever got was 262. But they needed 700 to be equipped and fed.
That's over 500,000 pounds of supplies.
Of everything.
That's fucking, that's a lot.
You're talking about 270,000 people. Yeah, that's a lot of fucking planes.
A lot of fucking planes, man.
That's constant airdrops. I mean, constant airdrops.
So you're there, you're rushing. You don't know if they're bombing or if they're dropping supplies.
No.
Fucking.
And again, that's why World War II blows my mind. That's an inconceivable number. Like, how many planes was that? What did it take to orchestrate that? Where was the food coming from?
And that was just there. They're still fighting other wars.
That was one fucking city.
They're still fighting other battles. Yeah,
unbelievable.
Well, they had taken over 80% of Europe. They were probably just fucking ganking fucking cans of corn from wherever.
Yeah,
That's true. But at that time, though, even the Battle of Stalingrad was happening. They had like three other wars going on to get to Moscow. Like, they were taking out this spot, taking out that spot, taking out Stalingrad, and then next on the platter was Moscow. So they had all this shit going on. Those are just Stalingrad stats. You know, like, that's fucking
crazy.
Yeah,
they wanted to fall back and regroup, and Hitler's like, no, all air supply. I watched a documentary, and they said hundreds and hundreds of planes were just fucking blown up on their way there. Just not.
And even as well as the Germans did was kind of a fluke, because Hitler was so sure that they were going to stomp a mud hole in Stalingrad's ass that he actually sent the entire 4th Tank Division, which was the only tank division supporting the 6th Army Division, which is what the Germans
invaded. And there were no tanks left after they got done.
They sent the 4th Division south to head to where the oil reserves were and told them not to go to Stalingrad.
Yeah.
The only reason that they went back is because there was another tank battalion on the road, and it was causing such a traffic jam that no tanks could get to the oil fields. So the general basically said, I don't fucking care what Hitler said, send those fucking tanks back to Stalingrad. So he sent him back to Stalingrad just because his tanks were getting fucked with and he was trying to take the oil fields. So even that was another colossal fuck up on Hitler's part. Yeah, it was just the whole thing.
They were trying to go too fast is what ended.
And they kept wanting to surrender, and Hitler just kept giving this, you know, no, you need to fight to the last man. This is for for German honor. And it's like, easy for you to fucking say, bitch.
He should have left the strategy to his advisors in general, and you know, it's Hitler. He's like, nah, like I'm going to do this. And
this is into the war area, you know, like
he was on all kinds of crazy 60 pills a day. But yeah, he started just firing generals and saying, no, I'll do it. Hand me the monopoly, man.
Right,
I'm going to put my horse on the map right here. Do that. Move my tank left.
I say he was a good politician, bad general.
Right.
Like,
and I mean, speaking of horses, the main supply of protein was rats before they fell back to eating people. And the first thing that they ate were all the horses, because we're talking about the 1940s. So horses were more common than cars in a lot of cities like this. There were 10,000 horses in Stalingrad when the war started, and all of them.
And in places like France, they ate horse meat. Yeah, there was like a bunch of crazy antique shows. You always see people find like these horse things that hung outside of restaurants that were like, hey, we sell horse meat here.
Yeah, they still do actually. But the Red army, in Stalingrad, the average lifespan of a soldier was 24 hours.
Fuck.
Like on the front line, soldier, Russian army, 24 hours for an enlisted man, 3 days for an officer.
Fuck.
Because, and they were just churning them in. They were just driving them over the river. You get a rifle, you don't. Like, just fucking, I mean, that's the only way those numbers make sense. That's the only way that fucking 1.7 million people die in this city is a constant churn of new people rolling in there and getting mowed down.
At some point, the population can't sustain. Like, you can't have babies and raise them. There's a gap. You're like, everyone's...
Well, no, there's a point. No, there's no. There's a point where all the men are dead. Loss. Everyone's getting imported.
This is my problem with, like, old school, like, army strategy. Like, why wasn't anybody smart enough to say, okay, let's retreat. Let them have it, come back and bomb that shit and fucking destroy everybody. Right. Like,
well, they bombed the shit out of it before they even went in there. Like, no, that was their standard operation,
I don't know.
One thing that I read that also was that the Germans adopted a defense because what happened was the Russians, not just snipers, but like little Russian ninjas would run up and just start randomly throwing grenades into windows and killed the Germans who were asleep. So the Germans started to get in the habit of they would carry fishing nets with them. And once they found the building they were going to sleep in, they would put fishing nets up in the windows so you couldn't see them at night. And then the Russians would throw the grenade. It would bounce off the fishing net and come back down and kill them. So the Russians started to put fish hooks on their grenades. So
they'd stay on
and
the net. Would
throw them to the window. And if it hit a fishing net, it would catch the net and hang. And it would still blow up and kill the Germans.
this war, this shit is a battle of I don't even know.
Battle of the wits.
No, not even. I was trying to think of the word. Not wits, but like comebacks. You know, like it's like a fucking your mama joke. The whole fucking thing. Oh yeah? Oh yeah? Oh, you want to put fishing nets up, huh?
Fuck that. I'll use
Boys,
a fishing hook.
Break out the fishing hooks. Like, what? I don't know. It's just crazy.
And it was
to me.
Just fucking street by street battles. It was just fucking brutal. So eventually, another German general, a guy named German Strecker, was informed.
His name was German Strecker?
General Strecker.
Like, that's generic.
On February 2nd.
Oh, Russian Smith.
He was informed that one of his officers went to the Russians to negotiate terms for surrender, this other German general. And then as soon as he heard that, he just fucking surrendered. Like, oh, really? You surrendered and they let you and you're still alive? Yeah. Like, we're all doing it.
Yeah.
So they start surrendering.
Bad plan.
He's like, I heard they have snacks.
General Paulus, who was the main general, who is now field marshal, Hitler ended up radioing him and saying, you need to stand fast to the last soldier and the last bullet. And it's a heroic drama of German history. Yeah, says the guy in Berlin.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off. But he kept petitioning to surrender. No one would let him. So this other guy surrendered. And then 91,000 German soldiers finally end up surrendering.
And obviously it's the mentality of the whole, because someone else would have stepped up and been like, fuck that. Let that pussy surrender. I'm stepping into his place. And out of 91,000 people, they're all, yeah, let's just do that.
Right.
You know, but no one,
that, and that's what, and that's
no
what
one
I said.
Stepped into his shoes.
Out of the 91,000, only 6,500 ever went, like roughly 5,000 to 6,500 ever went home.
Right.
Well, because like they put them in prison. They put them in labor camps, but and they all died.
Freezing. Yeah.
So here's the thing. So the second to the last plane to leave Stalingrad.
What makes
for
you think
Germany,
Russia's going to take care of you?
Right. Exactly. Like, General, what's his fucking name? Paulus, the German general, put his wedding ring on the second to the last plane and had orders for it to get to his wife. And he didn't leave, even though he could have. He actually didn't surrender. He stayed there, and the Russians ended up taking him.
I watched. He walked into captivity.
He might. Maybe he did.
Yeah.
Because I know he didn't go. He could have retreated. He could have gone back. He could have gone.
I watched. He walked into captivity. He gave himself up.
But he sent his wedding ring back instead of being on the plane himself, which I guess says something.
Yeah, but he can't go back because Hitler's going
to
kill him.
Right. Well, because Hitler said, according to one historian, that Paulus, quote, could have freed himself from all sorrow and ascended into eternity and national immortality, but he prefers to go to Moscow. Well, so he even when he surrendered, though, Hitler called him a bitch.
Because had he died, we wouldn't be talking about him. We're talking about him because he got surrendered. So his legacy is actually
not necessarily like if he would have led that last fucking 91,000 troops to their death.
To their death, yeah. Then it would have been.
Yeah, they fought, so there was nothing left. True. I mean, you still, and so you never know. They might have won.
Exactly. Who knows the way that fucking thing kept going back and forth. So 91,000 Germans are captured. Half of them died on the march to the labor camps. So 45,000 people died heading to the labor camps.
Didn't even make it.
And then out of that, 13 years after the war ended, 6,500 of them finally made it back to Germany. So 91,000 surrendered.
Years.
6,500 made it back to Germany 13 years later.
Holy fuck.
Unbelievable. The fucking, and again, that's just one battle. And again, we mentioned this briefly in the Stalingrad episode, talking about what a fucking baller Stalin was, but
yeah, you said the Stalingrad episode, the Stalin episode.
When the general was arrested and he was held by the Soviets, the Germans offered to trade, him for Stalin's son, because they wanted, wanted him back. And Stalin's reply was, I will not trade a marshal for a lieutenant.
Yeah.
Because his own son was only a lieutenant. Yeah,
I remember that.
And this guy was a field marshal. Yep. And he was like, fuck him.
Yeah. Like, my son's a piece of shit.
So the Germans, obviously, they probably just wanted to get him back so they could fucking execute him for treason or some crazy shit. But Stalin wouldn't give him up and wouldn't take his kid back, which is fucking crazy. Yeah. So yeah, I try to picture what that would be like. I mean, just having your city completely fucking annihilated with bombs and just living in the rubble while soldiers just fucking fought house to house, just fucking murdering people. There's no food. There's no water. There's no electricity. There's no medicine. There's fucking nothing. Yeah,
get out a game of Monopoly or something.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. Have a nice wine.
People whine about their Wi-Fi not working and shit, man. That makes you appreciate the fucking time that we live in. You know what I mean?
No, it was rough. That was
Never know. It could still fucking happen.
No, it could still fucking happen. And again, even among the battles in World War II, it's unique because it was just the battle of egos. It was Hitler's ego versus Stalin's ego for this fucking city.
What war is it?
Tactics were but a lot of, I mean, still you turn to the generals to be tactically sound and conquer and whatever. Stalingrad wasn't tactically sound on either fucking side of the battle. It was just bizarre and just throwing away life and resources and what, and just for ego.
The target was tactically sound
at first,
but what happened, and then them to just keep throwing resources at it, they're like, oh, you're gonna put more in? No, we're gonna put more in,
right?
Like, it just became whose balls were bigger.
Exactly,
you know,
exactly.
And they both, like, because realistically, they both had that we're not backing down.
I mean, it's tactically, when 90% of the city has been rendered unlivable, the Russian army is destroyed and living in two small pockets in the middle of the city. Like, you've taken the objective. Yeah. Stalingrad is now worthless tactically to Russia. You move your army on to do something else. You don't obsess about fully conquering Stalingrad just because it's got Stalin's fucking name. Yeah,
even if you took it, what are you going to do?
Like, right. You can't use it. Yeah. You can't use it. It's unusable. Like, the German army should have just moved on and kept conquering, but Hitler couldn't fucking let go.
Moved to Moscow.
Stalin couldn't let go. Yeah. I mean, Stalin could have fucking stomped German ass all over everywhere else in Russia, but he just kept funneling people into Stalingrad.
That's why they lost the other half.
Right, exactly. It's like, it was so bizarre. It was just like, whose fucking nuts are bigger? Let's just keep swinging them at each other.
You know, and I think the saying, fucking pick your battles, comes from like this shit right here.
Fucking rough. So many dead people. I mean, just unbelievable. I recommend everyone just fucking do some Google searches on fucking Stalingrad images, because it's just an endless supply. And I do recommend that movie Enemy at the Gates. It's actually a really good
stuff
movie.
Like this too, when you look it up online, like, it's almost like a movie, like, that shit was real,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, it is unfathomable.
And it's like, for every, and the other thing that I was thinking when I was reading it, and I mean, Brad has said this on multiple occasions in the show, that history is written by the victors. because everything you read is about like the noble stand at the Pavlov house and how badass Vasily was when he was fucking sniping all these people and the girls of the 1077th using their air, like,
none of
the stories are about Germans and how brave they were defending themselves. I mean, there's not one story about a German holdout about, but I know there were incredible acts of heroism that the German army did.
Yeah, and it's because the Germans were the acts of evil. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that's, and that's where like, yeah, they had some issues. But that's where I get mixed up in this whole, I mean, if you're into conspiracy stuff, which I wasn't a couple years ago, and now more and more, I'm like, you know, these things aren't conspiracies, right. You know, why do we have these world wars? Because because there is a world power, you know, there is a world government that are controlling what certain places are doing. Other people don't agree with it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, and you look back on that and you say, yeah, there, you know, because we talked about Hitler, he did do some great things for Germany. Yeah. He was a little off base going, trying to kill all the Jews,
a little,
but he did do good things for his country.
No, he did.
And those things are unheard of. So when you tell a normal person like, no, Hitler did a lot of shit for Germany. He was actually a good ruler until the fucking very end.
Stanford prison experiment on a large fucking scale.
Same thing with Stalin. At the beginning, he did a lot of great things for his country.
Yeah, and
he went over the...
And that's the problem with people in history.
All of them. It's roads, agriculture, you mention, healthcare.
But the same thing, though. Like
genocide.
Like, yeah. Saddam, you know, like, he's doing one thing, and then all of a sudden, everybody starts fucking with him.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, there's the problem. You know, like, people are trying to do something and other
Here's
people
your problem
are fucking,
right there. You got a Saddam Hussein in there.
You got
a
goddamn, put your fingers in there and you dabble with Saddam.
Problem is you got one of them Saddams in here.
Yeah. Saddam's all over the goddamn place. Is Saddam crazy in here? I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, because even as, I mean, as I was researching, I was I was waiting for some of these standout stories of crazy balls out, like
Germans.
Whatever, to be some German stories. Because you know they happened. For every Pavlov house, there was a fucking Heinrich house. Yeah. Like, you know,
I
the
think
same,
Brad Pitt has at least four movies describing what you're saying right now. Like, I think so too.
But yeah, I was kind of surprised to not find one act of heroism about the Germans from it, because the entire tale is told from a Russian perspective, which is kind of
odd. And that was my point. Why would you say that?
Because it's the attacker versus
the attacker
defender.
Did something good.
Heroic.
You know,
it's
I mean?
Hard to find that position. Yeah.
Well, by the time,
it's not
I mean,
really, but
to me, by the time you get to that level, I mean, at a certain point, the German soldiers, they're just fucking German kids that are stuck in Stalingrad, cut off from everyone with no chance to retreat and orders to fight till they die. It's like, I'm sure there were like these, you know, I don't know, like I would like to have heard
and the
some
other
stories
thing, like,
about
if,
these
if you
people.
Look at it like this, if you forget about the concentration camps and everything, the Germans were fighting communism, you know, fighting the Russians and the commies. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you look at it from that angle, like, it creates a totally different stance.
And it's always like, yeah, the people in charge of that army were SS, and they were Nazis, and they were fucking evil, and they were complicit in all these fucking war crimes, et cetera.
Who was in charge of Russia?
Well, but I'm just saying the average German soldier on the ground was just some fucking German dude.
It's the Stanford prison.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's why I was curious that I didn't find one heroic thing that the Germans did, you know, in the Battle of Stalingrad, because it was a pretty fucked up scenario.
Oh, well, fuck them.
Yeah, they're all dead.
All right. Sponsors
and
things such as.
Well, they didn't live to tell the story.
That's right.
I guess.
That always trips me out when we do this stuff that's historical like that. And it's like all of those people are dead. The entire population of the earth at that time is dead. No one's there. A whole new crew is running shit now. Like, it just blows your mind when you start to dig into that.
And I also saw a really cool video that just shows the number of casualties through World War II, and it breaks it down by different eras. Mm-hmm. I'll post that in the show notes as well, because I thought it was pretty interesting.
Josh Burton.
Just randomly in. Just got something against Arizona today. Just
Who doesn't? They hate black people.
They do. I heard that shit. Profiling. Yeah. Happy birthday to Michelle Campbell, and happy birthday to Lauren Robinson, before I forget. And Brad, you got I heard you had a happy birthday reminder on your phone.
Do I?
Yeah.
No, that's going to be for later. It'll be on the day.
Next episode? Yeah. Oh, that's right. That will work. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I got you. All right, so you don't get a happy birthday.
No. Yeah, you can fuck off.
And Nick Eimholt hit me up for the hot sack.
Yeah. You can suck a barbed wire dick.
Wow.
Wow.
Barbed wire dick.
I like that.
So thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. They are available at most major grocery stores. Thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. They sell printed goods, and you can save some money buying them by using our code SOFAKING. They sell stickers, all kinds of stuff like that. Also, thank you to De Leon Graphics, who does our t-shirts and our koozies. You can find them on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and whatnot. Thank you to Digital Creations. They do our heat press goods. They make one-off stuff. They've actually had a lot of orders from a lot of our listeners as of late. So keep doing that. You can find them on Facebook or Instagram as well at, I think, digital.creations and digital.creations.bakersfield. Also, thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com to get instructional DVDs and apparel. Chicago is December 9th from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. We have plane tickets and hotels. Yes. Most people are staying at the Marriott on
East
Hubbard on 30th, Hubbard Street.
East 30th.
East 30 Hubbard Street. Yeah, there's a couple of Marriotts. Don't get confused or you'll be up till
I wish I could make it one
in the morning talking to someone who doesn't speak very good English and falling asleep. It was rough, but I got it fixed. We got our rooms at that Marriott. Listen to Breakers podcast. I went on a trip out of town, listened to a bunch of Breakers, and I'm hooked again, actually. I don't know. I get these two guys listening to it.
I don't know how you have time to...
I was driving.
I've been listening to it.
Yeah, I was driving.
I listened to it on the way to and back from my prison class.
I'll be honest, I got like hooked. And like the whole, you don't have time? I don't fucking have time. I had to study. I had to do our Patreon shout out thing. And all I really wanted to do was listen to the next episode. But I'm fucking like...
I'm still way behind, but I'm done with the first season. I'm on the first season.
Oh, you finished first season?
Yep.
I'm on first season, episode 9.
I listened to like 2 seconds of the first one.
It's good, man. I'm not just saying that because our friends and whatnot. I don't listen to podcasts really at all other than Rogan.
I don't.
If I go to the gym or something, which has been far and few between, but Breakers podcast has me hooked right now. So check them out.
I mean, it's the best like 10 seconds of a podcast I've ever listened to.
No, it's really good. Yeah,
the intro.
Just wait till Negan shows up.
Which is great. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I feel like that's a Walking Dead thing or something.
Oh.
Yeah. What else?
Wrong podcast.
We have a Patreon at patreon.com/SoFakingPodcast. We have been doing special skits, and if you want to be featured on one of those, that's one way to do it. We also give away t-shirts and
special.
You don't think it's special?
Oh, they're special.
They're special. Like, I'm retarded and I have a lot of fun doing them. Yeah. But so what else? We have merchandise. If you go to sofakingpodcast.com/shop, we also have social media. You can follow us at, because we give away prizes. That's how you win the hot sack. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at sofakingpodcast. And then we all individually have Instagrams at sofakingdave, at sofakingbrad, and I'm at sofakingbrent. So check us out on all of that. I think that's all I have. Anything else I forgot?
Nope.
Birthdays and shit. I got it all.
Yeah, you did a lot of shit I didn't care about. Well, towards that end.
Some people do. That means a lot to a lot of people, sir.
All right. You done?
I am.
Anybody else? You sure you didn't forget any sponsors?
Thank you to Brad's mom.
No, fuck that bitch. Don't be a retard.
Расслабьтесь. Успокойтесь. Вы сидите на берегу моря, легкий бриз дует вам в лицо. Утреннее солнце нежно греет вашу кожу. Вы спокойны, вам ничего не мешает. Тикает время, близится час, грядет мрак из бездны ума. Вид вас заменят, песни кричат, ты погрузишься в вечный тлак.
Так, кто здесь у нас попал в капкан? Пока кап-кап, на пол кровь, ты не гавкай там, давай. Нас называют ужасом, мы мысли те, что родились во тьме тебя. За вами наблюдаем, но готовы выйти на дне себя. Чтобы тут не было страх, дай, то ли то панчлайн, то ли то праймка. Меня где увидишь, там и плачлайн, помогут и пачка, не бросят клачка. Я внутри каждого из вас, ты меня создал, теперь сам знай. Я хуже всех демонов, и стастай неспроста. Ты меня видеть можешь, когда я в сон, это я зло, тебе ясно? Это не игра слов, это тебе не подвластно. Тут у вас кровь, мистер, подустал, но ты подайся, это наше пение.
Узники вашего мозга, умозаключение.
Thank you. за зуб лихом. Учу меня лики, какого вкуса плоть грозом. Друг в кроссах плут, грузит вас бросом. Бук, WhatsApp, док, тебе пора рот сомкнуть. Нами грошей брошен клуб, здесь те, кто крошит глухо. Попереть на этих двух, на своих двоих очень глупо. Не знать язык древних рун, я современник третьих лун. Кайца Каин, именем Хайда, замыкаю грешный круг. Смотреть на вас грустно, заливаю горе ядом кобры. Hey-ho! Как оботус разный устан, как конструктор собран. Вы слишком мало в теле, надоели, умрете в постели. Долбанный псих пробирками, колбами, сыдру, футболку. Если идешь боем против нас, не видать света, так хоть сотню раз. И только один наш акреда, это звуком плотным хуй перевод мас. При таком раскладе вас воскать, что тебя погубит разность. Вась, любой клан моста, и мой план рвать пасть, чтоб власть красть, мразь.
Ha ha ha.